To our guest with us, thank you for being with us. We appreciate your presence with us this morning. This evening's lesson at 6 p.m. will be a Christian evidence lesson. It's titled, No Bones About It, Jesus Was Raised from the Dead. It's a sermon on the resurrection of Jesus and why some of the current theories that goes around are not going to hold water, not just with Scripture, but with common sense as well. We are missing a number of our group from Tahoe that are at the encampment, and we're glad you're here as we share in our worship service. We certainly bless God, ask God's blessings on them as they enjoy that encampment in Tahoe. This morning is next to the last lesson in our series in Philippians. We've been going through the book of Philippians, examining it through the lens of the good life. What does the Apostle Paul say about the good life in Christ in the book of Philippians? And we've discovered a number of jewels as we've gone through. Now, I doubt you go away this morning saying, I really learned something, but I hope you're reminded of something you already know and you're able to better put it into practice. And that is the joy of giving and receiving that leads to the good life. You know, when I was a kid growing up, there were some Bible verses I just doubted. I just didn't think they were true. And here's one of them. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And as a kid, boy, I would much rather have somebody give me a candy bar than for me to have to give up my candy bar for somebody else. I just could not see the blessing in giving. I was all focused upon myself. But God has a way of growing our spirits over time. It's July. Have any of you ever practiced something called Christmas in July? Where you have a Christmas or a gift-giving time, a special holiday in July? Well, I'm not saying that we got to do that. But since it's July and I'm preaching on giving and receiving, that thought came into my mind. We give Christmas gifts as a token of love to our family members, don't we? But not only do we do that, we give Christmas gifts because it supplies a need. Every Christmas, I usually get a couple of shirts. And that's great. I always need a new shirt. And the shirts say, I'm loved. And the shirts say, you need a new shirt. Both are right. It fulfills a real need, and yet it demonstrates love. And that's what gifts do. They fulfill a need, and they demonstrate love. And there's joy in both giving and receiving. And that's the theme of our text we're going to look at in Philippians chapter 4. So be opening your Bibles to chapter 4. We're going to take a look at verse 10 through 18 in just a couple minutes. Let's get a little bit of the context here. Paul and the Philippian church had a deep, abiding relationship. And Paul writes to them from prison, and the Philippians had sent a care package, if you will, to Paul in prison. They had seen to supply to his needs. We'll notice that they sent him financial support, but they also sent him a person, Epaphroditus. Now, I doubt that Epaphroditus arrived with a bow on his neck, saying, I'm from the Philippians, Paul, and I'm here for you. But that's the general idea of what happened. The Philippian church heard about Paul and his needs and took one of their members and sent him to Rome where he could minister to the needs of the Apostle Paul. We find that in chapter 2, verse 25 through 30. Now, our text in chapter 4 is Paul's thank you letter to the Philippian church for sending Epaphroditus and the financial support for his needs. And Paul demonstrates the benefit of giving and of receiving, and how such giving and receiving enrich our relationships together. In our text, Paul reminds us that gifts meet needs and gifts affirm love. And both are important. Just like me getting a shirt at Christmas time. It felt fulfilled a need. Also, it shows love. The title, Giving and Receiving, for our lesson this morning, actually comes from verse 15, where Paul says, Not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. I don't think Paul is complaining here. You know, he's actually complimenting the Philippians. You're the ones that stood up and said, I see that Paul has a need, and I'm going to help fulfill it. So Paul's being complimentary of the Philippian church. Now we look at our text, and we're going to discover that our joy is not ultimately dependent upon our circumstances. Notice verse 10 through 13. Paul says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. As I go into this point that our joy is not ultimately dependent upon our circumstances, I want to give you a balance to what I'm going to say. I realize that I'd rather have paid bills than unpaid bills. I'd rather have tires with air in than the flat tires. I'd rather have plumbing that doesn't leak than plumbing that does leak. Paul is not saying there's joy in having difficulties. Joy is simply, what Paul is saying is joy is more of an inside job than an outside job of circumstances. Now, the circumstances do affect us. They can draw us down. You know, we can have bad days of events that happen to us, so they draw us down some. But that doesn't take away from our lasting joy, because our joy is found in Jesus. And that's what Paul wants to share with us here. Paul rejoiced that the Philippians had renewed their concern for him, verse 10, and they'd sent a gift to help him while he was in prison. The gift was helpful. And Paul says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, because I've learned how to be content whatever the circumstances. The old King James Version says, I've learned to be content in whatever state I found myself. Now, I grew up with the King James Version. I memorized a lot of scripture in the King James Version. So I went away to college into Arkansas, to Harding in Arkansas. And some of us who were out of state kind of looked around in the place in Arkansas where we found ourselves and went, well, Paul was able to be content in whatever state he found himself. Maybe I can be content in Arkansas too. You know? Well, the point is, that's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about circumstances. Whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, Paul says, I've learned to be content. How, Paul? Because he has discovered that his joy ultimately comes from Jesus and not from the circumstances around him. Would Paul rather be free than in prison? Absolutely. Would Paul rather be well-fed than hungry? Absolutely. But Paul recognized that joy at its heart is an inside job. It's an inside job, not dependent upon circumstances as much as our choice of our attitude of our heart. The Lord helps us get through things that we couldn't manage without Him. Have you ever noticed that? Paul said, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Sometimes we get the wrong idea that Paul's kind of has this Christian bravado about him and says, I'm a Christian and I can do all things through Jesus Christ. I don't think that's exactly what Paul means. Paul doesn't mean that God has empowered him so he can whip the world. Paul means that he can face every circumstance because of his relationship to Jesus Christ, because Paul has found his joy in Jesus. Paul says, I can find joy, I can find peace and purpose even in prison. Even when I'm not well fed, even when my circumstances are rotten, Paul says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Not in the sense of bravado that I've got all this strength that Jesus gives it to me, but in the sense that Jesus is walking with him through those problems. And God will walk through your everything with you as well. Your times of disappointment, your times of frustration, your times of abandonment, maybe your times of betrayal. God will walk through those times with you. It doesn't mean that all the pain will be erased, but God's presence will see you through on your journey. That's why Paul wrote, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. So find your joy in Jesus and let Him help you with your everything, including the sad and difficult things of life. And discover your joy is not ultimately dependent upon circumstances as much as your heart. And that includes your relationship with the Lord. Again, I'm not saying that circumstances don't matter. I'm just saying the heart matters more. And that's what Paul had discovered. Now we go to verse 14 to 18, where Paul gives a thank you letter. Notice these words. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as the Philippians know, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, When I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matters of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more, and I'm amply supplied, now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. There is a blessing in receiving. And Paul recognized that. Is there a blessing in giving? Yes. Is there a blessing in receiving? Yes. We're blessed both ways. There have been times in your life and mine that you have benefited from the generosity of others. I know when we got married, and that was over 40 years ago, believe it or not, we got a whole slew of wedding gifts. We got gifts from people, and I said, who are these gifts from? I don't even know these people. Well, they were friends of Nancy's family. That's great. And people were giving us wedding gifts, and I felt so undeserving. All of these dozens of people are sending us wedding gifts. Wow, I could never repay them for this. And then I discovered I wasn't meant to repay them for it. Yes, I could pay it forward as I give other people wedding gifts, and we've given a lot of wedding gifts over the last 40 years to other people too, just like you have. The point I'm making is there was a blessing in receiving, but there's also the blessing in giving. Yet, although, Paul says, I can be content whatever my circumstances, it was good of you to share in my troubles. It was good of you to recognize I had a need, Paul said, and attend to that need and to help me out. Then Paul says, not that I'm looking for a gift. I'm not fishing for something from you, Philippi folks. The best gifts are the gifts that are unsolicited. Have you ever noticed that? Ladies, do you like to get some flowers from your hubby? Yeah, that's nice, right? And you kind of expect it on your birthday and on your anniversary, don't you? But what if he brings you flowers just out of the blue? And you check the calendar and you go, it's not my birthday. It's not my anniversary. Why are there flowers? The first thing you say is, what has he done? But when you get beyond that, when you go, oh, this is nice. He thought of me today and he brought me flowers. Paul is saying, you folks in Philippi thought of me and you sent me flowers. Not literally, but you sent me gifts while I was in prison. You sent the Epaphroditus to care for my needs. Notice how verse 17 reads, I am looking for what may be credited to your account. So now Paul turns to the blessing of giving, the blessing the Philippians had to be givers to Paul. While there's a blessing in receiving, there's also a blessing in giving. Just like Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? By the way, what gospel is that found in? Trick question. It's not found in the gospels. It's a quotation of Jesus, so you would assume it's in the gospels, right? It's actually found in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Paul references this quote from Jesus when he's speaking to the Ephesian elders. That's trivia. It won't be on the test, though. There's a blessing in giving. There's a blessing in receiving. God has created us as spiritual blessing, giving, to be givers and to be receivers. We're spiritual beings. And what does it mean to be a spiritual being? God has hardwired us for connection with other people. Have you noticed that? I would not make a good hermit. Now, I'm not the greatest extrovert in the world who goes out and connects with people all the time. No, I'm actually more of an introvert at heart. But I still need people, and I need to connect with people. And God has made us to connect with other people, to plug in with other people. No wonder Jesus said the first commandment is to love God, connect with God. The second commandment is love your neighbor, connect with other people. We're hardwired for that. Giving builds those connections, doesn't it? Building those connections is part of God's plan. in our growth of our spirits. To be spiritual is to recognize that you and I, here's another example, are covered with Velcro. Now, what happens if I am covered with Velcro? You can really see the Velcro on my coat, right? No. Let's just pretend I'm covered with Velcro. You know, and you're covered with Velcro, and I get too close to you, and guess what happens? We get stuck together momentarily, don't we? Well, see yourself as spiritually covered with Velcro, or in this example on the screen here, an electrical plug. See yourself as built for connection with other people. That's the way God wired us. That's what it means that God has made us as spiritual beings, to connect with Him and to connect with other people. And giving broadens and deepens our spiritual connection with others. And the good life is how we're made to live, to be in connection with God and connection with other people. Giving to others affirms and builds our interconnectedness. Ultimately, we're not independent people. We're not self-made men and women, are we? We're God-dependent people, and we are blessed by others. We have that dependence on others, and we depend upon others, and we share with each other. That's what it means to be a spiritual person, to be connected to God and connected to other people. You've heard this illustration from me before. A man from China had a dream about hell. And in hell, he saw there was a tremendous banquet table, and it had all of his favorite foods on it. But unfortunately, there were 6-foot chopsticks, and he never could get his food to his mouth. And then he had this vision of heaven. Same wonderful banquet table, laden with food. Same 6-foot chopsticks. What's the difference between heaven and hell? The people in heaven were feeding each other. They were connected to each other. They blessed each other. And that's what it means to be a spiritual being, a healthy spiritual being, is connected with God and is connected with other people. Paul says we are made for that spiritual connection. And this book is his thank you to the Philippian church for connecting to his needs, supplying his needs, and by doing so, themselves receiving a blessing. Now let me go to some practical thoughts on giving and receiving. We've seen that we have been wired both to give and receive, and that's an important part of life. There are two ways to give blessings to people, monetarily and otherwise. All your gifts don't have to be a checkbook, do they? Of course, I don't use checks much anymore, do you? But we sometimes give online to things and use our credit cards and whatnot, or we give cash. That's fine, too. Cash still works most of the time, right? We can give monetarily, but we also give otherwise. And the Philippians blessed Paul at least those two ways. They provided for his monetary needs, and that's clear from verse 15 and 16 in chapter 4. And they did so repeatedly. They provided for Paul's needs and sustenance while he was in prison. But they also provided other ways. They sent him Epaphroditus. They sent him, if you will, with a big bow around his neck, saying, I'm here to help you. Paul, how can I help? And Paul was sending Epaphroditus back to Philippi with this letter. And this letter is, thank you for sending me finances. Thank you for sending Epaphroditus my way to be a blessing to me. You see, we give to others both by our presence, P-R-E-N-S-E-N-C-E, being with them, and our presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. We bless people materially, we bless people spiritually in giving to them. There's more than one way to bless someone. Paul was blessed by the Philippians' financial support, but also Epaphroditus coming, caring for his needs. And there are many ways you can bless people. Not all of them include money. Not all of them include possessions. Some of them include time. Some of them include gratitude and thank yous. There are many ways to be a blessing to people. We also notice we may give a different blessing than we received. What did Paul receive from Philippi? Well, financial giving, and he also received Epaphroditus. Here's a servant to help him. But what had Paul given to Philippi? Paul had given to Philippi spiritual blessings. He had given them the gospel. He had given them a way to relate to God through Jesus Christ. As Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 15, "For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share in their material blessings." You don't always give back to people the same way they gave to you. Maybe you've got a rich friend, and that rich friend's giving you a whole lot of money. God bless you. That's great. But you know what? You don't give that money maybe to that friend. You may be able to give that friend something else that they need. You see, all of our gifts to each other are not the same. That's okay. We don't always give back in the same currency in which we were blessed. For example, you support my family financially so I don't work a regular 9-to-5 job so I can be of service to the congregation in a fuller way. That's a giving back in a different way. I try to give to you spiritually as you've given to me monetarily. We don't always give back in the same way we receive. The teacher blesses her students with knowledge. The students bless the teacher, hopefully with love and respect. So find your joy in Jesus. He will help you with your everything. He'll help you with your struggles. But learn that you can give back to others in ways that you may not realize because you give differently than they gave to you. I used to feel guilty they couldn't bless some folks in the same way they get blessed me. But you know what? I learned that there's two things. I pay it forward to others. And number two, I give back to those who bless me in another way. The tie I'm wearing this morning was a gift from a member of our congregation. Somebody asked about what's the A for. By the way, the A is for Alabama, and just in case you're wondering. It was a gift from a member of the congregation. I was blessed by it. Paul couldn't repay the Philippians for their financial generosity, but he certainly blessed them spiritually, didn't he, with this letter. So you give back to others maybe differently than they gave to you. That's why giving and receiving is a spiritual blessing. It connects hearts, and the good life comes as we give to each other. But lastly on this point, learn to say thank you gracefully. We teach our children to say please and thank you, and that's a good thing. And Paul knew how to gracefully say thank you to the Philippians for their activity within his heart and life. Notice he did so in writing. He wrote them a letter. He couldn't send them an email, could he? He couldn't call them on the phone. He actually had to sit down and write a letter, the old-fashioned way. I don't know about you, but in today's world, if I get a handwritten note, I am going to read it. And I'm going to appreciate it. Because handwritten notes are pretty rare in today's world, aren't they? They are. Paul is learning to say gracefully, thank you. In whatever mode he could, and that was writing a letter to the Philippians from his jail cell to them in Philippi for their blessings. You know, writing is a bit of a lost art. In graduate school, I had a professor who was rumored to weigh the papers instead of, you know, read them. Have you heard that joke? You know, professors grade the papers by how many steps they go down when you throw them down the steps. The heavier the paper, the further they go, the better the grade. Well, he was rumored to just assign grades on papers on the basis of how big are they, how thick are they. So one of the students got an idea. I'm going to write in the middle of my paper, if you read this, I will buy you a steak dinner. You know what grade the student received on his paper? Medium well. Writing in our culture is becoming a lost art, and reading in our culture is becoming a lost art. So learn to say thank you gracefully. And I think the professor had a good joke over it. Good laugh. Paul also comments on the benefits of the gifts he received from the Philippi. Epaphroditus, the messenger, the angel, if you will, from Philippi, took care of Paul's needs. And the money that Paul received from Philippi helped him in his time as need. And he says, I'm amply supplied. The gifts you sent are a fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Paul knew how to say thank you gracefully. As we conclude this morning, how can you bless somebody this week, even today, before you leave. Think about someone in this congregation that you can say a word of thanks to before you leave this morning. Someone that you can appreciate. Someone that you can give a blessing in some way. Someone that you can say, I'm praying for you for this situation or that situation. Bless someone before you leave today. You will receive a blessing for it. And when you are blessed by others, turn around and give back. But the way you give back may not be the same. You may give to somebody else, or you may give back to the person who gave you, but you may not give back the same thing they give you. By the way, that's called returning a gift. It's not always a good thing to do. I've received a few gifts in life that I couldn't really use. They were repurposed, usually to goodwill. Have you ever done that? You don't want to give them back to the person who gave them to you. That's kind of rude, isn't it? So bless someone before you leave the church today and be a blessing this week as we give and as we receive to others. Christianity is about heart connections. Connecting with God, connecting with each other, the Spirit of Christ. So don't quench God's Spirit, but listen to Him. And that's why you have Christmas in July. Whether you celebrate a holiday in July is not the point. The point is we learn to give and receive the way Paul taught us to give and receive, the way Jesus taught us to give and receive, a blessing for us and the blessing on the person on the other end. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for being the giver of life. Thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son, Jesus, as a sacrifice for my sin. That through his blood, Father, I stand before you pure and holy, not because I'm good, but because you're good. Thank you, Lord, for that sacrifice. Help us, Father, in our task of being givers and receivers in this life, that we might be a blessing to others and we might be blessed by others. Father, help us not harden our hearts to others or to you, that we open ourselves, Father, to you and to others with the expectation of your goodness and their goodness being a blessing in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Say these words with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Often that's seen as the golden text of the Scripture. Our everlasting life can begin right now as we sacrifice ourselves on the cross of repentance, as we kill the old man and turn to Jesus Christ in faith. As we're buried with him in baptism and rise to walk a new life, forgiven of our sins by the blood of Jesus and empowered to connect with God and with other people in a spirit of goodness and holiness. You're not perfect on your own. You need Jesus. And you can respond to his call. If you need the prayers of the body of Christ here, if you need to be baptized into the Lord, remember Jesus is the one who initiated giving that we might receive. Let's stand together and let's sing.